Hello, my name is Lewis Friedman, and I am a general internist, an outpatient general internist in Woodbridge, New Jersey. And I'm here with Dr. Prabhakaran, and I'll let her introduce herself as well.
Hi there, this is Sajina Prabhakaran. I'm a rheumatologist at Capital Health Rheumatology Specialist in Hopewell, New Jersey. And we're going to spend some time talking about rheumatoid arthritis through a case presentation.
So I guess I'll start off. We have a 20-year-old African-American woman who presents to the rheumatology clinic with her father with no past medical history, with complaints of joint pain over the past 4 months. HPI is onset of symptoms about 4 months ago, in her right hand over the knuckle, the second finger, and slowly progressed to involve the other fingers and wrists, knees, and ankles. She sets her alarm to wake up an hour before her usual time to give herself time to loosen up with about, with ibuprofen, 200 milligrams, three times twice daily, which seems to take the edge off. She's tried She's now using ibuprofen. Lately, she's noticed epigastric pain and nausea, review systems for fatigue, chills at night, swelling of the fingers in the morning, and dry eyes. History of lupus in a maternal aunt. Otherwise, family history is non-contributory. She denies smoking, drinking alcohol, using illicit drugs. She's a student at Rider University. I think we'll stop right there, Dr. P, and maybe if you could review the epidemiology of rheumatoid arthritis and how it relates to our patient.
Sure, absolutely. So rheumatoid arthritis is one of the more common inflammatory arthritis that we see in clinical practice. It's certainly more common in the temperate, you know, climate zones, although we are picking up more RA diagnoses in the tropical zones as well, and it may be partly related to underreporting the previous lower incidence. Interestingly, in the United States, we do see a good number of incidents of rheumatoid arthritis among the indigenous population as well, which is surprising. But by far, this is a disease of the young woman. So that's a classic patient that we have here, a young 20-year-old African-American woman. The incidence is certainly higher among the African-American population as well as the Hispanic population as well. So looking at the distribution, it is mostly a disease of the young. There can also be an increased incidence of rheumatoid arthritis in our senior citizens as well. So it's got a bit of a bimodal age distribution. I would stop at that with epidemiology, yes.
Okay. I guess I had some questions. Okay, so at this point, we'll go through the physical exam. Temperature is 98.7, heart rate of 78, blood pressure 110 over 72, pulse ox 97% on room air. HEENT exam, sclera anecteric, no pallor, no thyromegaly, reduced tear film. Abdomen exam, benign, heart and lungs normal as well. CNS exam revealed a positive Tenel sign in the right wrist, but no muscle atrophy. Musculoskeletal exam, this is key, I suppose. Erythematous, warm skin, and synovitis of the metacarpophalangeal joints of bilateral hands. Worse over the second MCP. Synovitis of the wrists and knees with associated pain with active and passive range of motion. Tenderness with swelling overlying the metatarsophalangeal joints of both feet, and discomfort with passive and active range of motion of both ankles. There's a lot there. Going now to the physical exam, I guess the same. Relate the symptoms? They seem pretty typical, but I'll let you comment as specifically for her.
Sure. So there are a couple of things I would probably point out in this case, which is very characteristic of rheumatoid arthritis. So rheumatoid arthritis is an inflammatory disease. So in other words, there is an overactive, which is a term which the layman would understand, an overactive immune system where targeting primarily the synovium of the joints. So the pain described by the patient is also described as inflammatory joint pain. And that's what this patient here describes. So this discomfort that's worse in the morning, gets better as the day goes on. There is significant morning stiffness. So the stiffness is typically the way you want to ask the patient is, do you feel like your hand is inside an oven mitt? So your joints are not quite easy to move. And in inflammatory joint pain, the morning stiffness lasts anywhere from 30 minutes to an entire day, or most in some cases, which is what this young woman describes. And there is certainly an improvement with using an anti-inflammatory, such as over-the-counter ibuprofen or higher doses of ibuprofen. Joint pain is associated with stiffness, can also be associated with swelling, which is the typical characteristics of inflammation. So there's swelling, there's warmth, there's heat, which is what this patient describes and what we found in examination. There's associated erythema of the joints as well. We talked about synovitis, and the description is that the metacarpophalangeal joints of both hands. So in rheumatoid arthritis, the classic description is bilateral symmetrical joint involvement, primarily of the small joints. So these include the metacarpophalangeal joints, the proximal interphalangeal joints, wrists, elbows, metatarsophalangeal joints, ankles, knees, and the shoulders as well. So this is a classic description of rheumatoid arthritis. Clearly, most patients don't present with all the joints being involved at the same time. The second metacarpophalangeal joint is frequently a sentinel joint. It's usually the first joint to start off, not in all cases. However, majority of patients, that is almost always an involved joint in rheumatoid arthritis. To the extent that when we do musculoskeletal ultrasound for diagnosis of RA, we usually place a probe at the second MCP joint to detect synovitis and inflammation of the synovium, and effusion, which is increase in joint fluid, to make a diagnosis or to support a diagnosis of inflammatory arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis.
So I have a question, or two. I actually have a few, but so how much variability is there? I know as a primary care physician, there are many times I'm in the room seeing a patient and they don't have such significant swelling, but we think about they have bilateral symptoms and joint pain. And how often would I expect to see swelling, warmth in a joint, or versus maybe I should, you know, go ahead and consider it as a diagnosis if they just, if they don't have the swelling and the warmth and maybe ulnar deviation, things like that.
Correct. Yeah. So the deformities, you're not probably not going to see it earlier on. So if it's a young patient who's coming in with fairly recent onset of symptoms, you're hoping you're not seeing ulnar deviation, because that would mean more advanced disease. You want to catch them before they get to that point. To answer your question about the detection of swelling or presence of warmth over a joint, not all the time. Sometimes, in fact, more frequently than not, your patient has subtle symptoms. Or if they are very early on in the disease, they may really not have significant warmth that you can detect. But that's where the history becomes very valuable. If the patient can give you a good history of inflammatory joint pain, at least you have enough pretest probability to order your serologies and check inflammation markers or whatever relevant tests you would do in such an instance to rule in or rule out an inflammatory arthritis process. At this time, a family history can also be very relevant. You don't always want to go by it. However, somebody who has a positive family history, at least that they know of a connective tissue disease, also increases their own risk for having one. So a history also becomes very relevant and would play a role in you making the decision as to how far you want to pursue the symptoms.
And my second question actually was from earlier when we were doing the presentation, but with senior citizens, is the presentation in someone who didn't have it prior, but they presented with it, is it similar, or are there many differences in how they present?
In our senior citizens, it gets a little bit more challenging because frequently they already have pre-existing osteoarthritis. So now they are presenting with new symptoms over and above what they always had. So it can be sometimes that it is, you know, inflammatory arthritis that was undiagnosed for several years. It was very mild. It was very indolent. It was subacute, and nobody really, it wasn't really big thing that stood out. But more times than not, there is a clear change in the pattern of these patients' symptoms from what they've already had, with low grade pain or discomfort that they used to manage, to what now is significant morning stiffness and swelling and so forth. So patients can very well will be able to describe that this is different from my baseline a lot of times, and they're quite reliable when that does happen. So just going back to the question you asked me about the senior citizens, I wanted to make one point, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later as well. The one other point that I would make mention about is when I have an older individual presenting with inflammatory joint pain, while I would diagnose and treat them for RA, I would also always think about malignancy as well, as it being a paraneoplastic process. So I just wanted to make sure that I did mention that as well.
Dr. P, can you give us an overview on the pathogenesis of rheumatoid arthritis?
Sure. So rheumatoid arthritis, just like a lot of the autoimmune conditions, the diagnosis is, it's not very clear exactly as to how things happen, but there's frequently a two, there are two things involved. There's a genetic predisposition, and then there's an environmental trigger. And in rheumatoid arthritis, the most frequent trigger is smoking. So patients carry the specific HLA haplotypes that increases their predisposition for rheumatoid arthritis. However, exposed to when exposed to cigarette smoke, what occurs is citrullination of certain proteins, peptides in the lungs, especially. So citrulline being one of them, sorry, arginine being one of them, and so forth. And these, when these citrullination of these peptides occur, they're picked up by the antigen-presenting cells, which then carry them over to the synovium, carry them over to our lymph nodes, and antibodies are generated against these peptides. And that's what starts the process, the immune response that is the root of the issues with rheumatoid arthritis. So now you have these specific antibodies traveling throughout the body, and their primary target happens to be the synovium, wherein they bind to these antigens and they trigger a profound immune response, attracting more immune cells, including the T and the B lymphocytes, more macrophages, which then spill out all their chemokines. And that in turn is what leads to the clinical findings that we see in the patient, which includes the swelling and the discomfort and the stiffness and so forth. So one of the unique things about rheumatoid arthritis is the fact that we do identify that a certain habit, namely smoking, does have an important role to trigger the onset of rheumatoid arthritis in patients.
I didn't know that. I know I think I had asked you this as we were preparing for the talks before, but a lot of my patients always have questions about diet, about things they can eat or aren't eating that maybe play a role, or supplements. And I know maybe this plays into treatment later, but can you comment on whether people talk about anti-inflammatory diets? Is there some value to that? Can you touch on that a little bit?
Sure. So this is something that has still been actively studied. And of course, everyone is trying to get healthy now, which is a great thing. When it comes to diet, supplements, in my opinion, do not really have a role. I mean, some does, for example, turmeric. Yes, it does act as a, it does have some anti-inflammatory role. But that being said, a healthy diet certainly is beneficial. An unhealthy diet, namely foods that's rich in, diet that's rich in processed foods, high amount of salt intake, trans fat, mostly meat-based diet, animal protein-based diet, as opposed to a plant-based diet. All of these can influence the body's inflammatory response. So certainly we've seen patients with autoimmune diseases, including rheumatoid arthritis, do better when they do change their dietary pattern. Does it have a profound role? Probably not. I mean, the example I give patients is, if you have a pneumonia, you're not going to stop with vitamin C to treat the pneumonia. Well, you need antibiotics. You need the antibiotics. But vitamin C probably does help a little bit. But in rheumatoid arthritis, Similarly, if you are following a healthy diet, an anti-inflammatory is classified as a healthy diet because it's more plant-based, less carbs, more high-fiber diet, less animal protein, less sugar. So these are the characteristics of mainly an anti-inflammatory diet. So that kind of a diet certainly increases the chances of controlling inflammation in a patient. It does also, to a certain extent, augment the response of the body to the medications that we use too. So there is a role for the diet, but I would not say that a poor diet would be a trigger for rheumatoid arthritis. I don't think that's ever been shown or proven. But for long-term management of somebody with an autoimmune or inflammatory disease, following a healthy diet, reducing one's BMI to a healthy range, certainly exercise, all of this does help overall improve their disease outcome and improve their quality of life.
Just one more reason to get my patients to eat healthier. Okay. And regarding the smoking, I don't think I ever knew that before, but since there are less smokers, I mean, certainly we've seen, I still have a lot of patients that smoke, but definitely less than say 10, 20 years ago. Has there been a concomitant decrease in RA, or is that not shown? Or?
No, I don't think that reducing the incidence of smoking has translated to a reduction in the incidence of rheumatoid arthritis. If anything, the incidence has only gone up. And I think partly the reason why it has gone up is also because we have far more sophisticated tests to diagnose rheumatoid arthritis, and also an increased awareness amongst providers in general about this disease. So even though smoking incidence has dropped, I wouldn't say that the incidence of rheumatoid arthritis has necessarily dropped. I don't know what would happen in the future, though, as we study the disease longer, if things would change. But the incidence currently, if anything, incidence has increased. And of course, we see greater response to treatment now. But the number of patients with RA, I think, has only gone up. It's about 0.5 to 1%, I think, global incidence of rheumatoid arthritis at this time.